The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 12, 2009, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 2. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Nanu nang mukta sanganang tadrishanang dvidarshaba graheshvabi niveshoyang pungsang bhavitumarhati nanu nang mukta sanganang tadrishanang dvidarshaba Graheshvabi niveshoyang Pungsang bhavitamarhati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Devotees are certainly liberated persons. Therefore, O greatest of the brahmanas, they cannot possibly be absorbed in family affairs. Purport. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that by executing devotional service to the Lord, one can understand the transcendental position of the living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood by any means except bhakti. The Lord confirms this in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. Bhaktyaham ikaya graya. Only by executing devotional service can one appreciate me. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita 18.55, Lord Krishna says, Bhaktyamam avijanati. Simply by discharging devotional service, one can understand me. And thus, for a bhakta to become attached to family affairs is impossible. Since a bhakta and his associates are liberated, everyone is searching after ananda or bliss, but in the material world there can never be any bliss. It is only possible in devotional service. Attachment for family affairs and devotional service are incompatible. And therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was somewhat surprised to hear that Maharaj Priyavrata will simultaneously attach to devotional service and to family life.
Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Larita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha.
So, yesterday we talked about the great danger of household life. Now it is like a dark well. And why this great saintly pure devotee of the Lord Priyavrata would enter household life? Actually, he was perfectly situated in renunciation. So why would he want to get entangled in household affairs? I promised to answer this question today. Why would a pure devotee who has no attachment whatsoever to matter, Uttama Adhikari Paramahamsa, why would he agree to get entangled in household? The answer is that his father Manu wanted to retire to the forest. He wanted to turn the kingdom over to his son so he could become renounced, you see. Even though the father asked the son, you take up this responsibility, you become householder, you rule the kingdom, etc., Priyavrata was hesitant, no, I don't want to do this. He simply wanted to remain absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He didn't want to obey his father. Now we have a previous example of this. The four Kumaras. Their father also wanted them to become entangled in household life. And they staunchly refused. No, we refuse to get married. Brahmachari is forever. And Brahmaji got so angry, from his forehead came Lord Shiva. That's how Shiva was born, you see. When those Kumaras refused to give up Brahmachari life, you see. So Priyavrata, he was thinking to follow the example of the Kumaras. And refused to enter household life. But and then Brahma came. And he preached to him also. So his father was telling him. And Brahmaji was telling him. And he was thinking, this is actually my duty, it's my responsibility, you see. Even though I'd rather have nothing to do with household life, you see. My father and also Brahmaji, they're ordering me, I must do this. So he accepted it. Now it mentions here that he was simultaneously attached to devotional service and a family life. Does that mean that he was a karma mishra bhakta? That he was devotee, but yet he was still in maya to a certain extent? No. He was Paramahamsa as a brahmachari. And he remained Paramahamsa as a married man also. So how you could be a Paramahamsa and be attached to family life? One may be bewildered to try to understand how is that possible. Well, let me ask you this. Is it maya to be attached to your service? If you're a book distributor and you're attached to going on a book distribution, is that maya? If you go to Mangalarti every day and you're attached to Mangalarti, is that maya? It's maya if you don't come.
Maya
But if you're attached to coming, that is not maya. If you're attached to offering puja to Nitai Gaurachandra, is that a material attachment? The point is, if you're attached to your service, that's great. We want you to be attached to your service. But not so attached that if you're ordered to do something else, you refuse. Not that attached. You see, you're attached to being surrendered to Krishna. That's the supreme attachment. So even if you're attached to doing book distribution, and you're asked to travel with the spiritual master as his personal servant, you will agree to give up your attachment for a temporary period of time and travel with the spiritual master. Because the highest principle is to serve the order of the spiritual master. But to be attached to a particular service, you see, that's very nice. Just like my godbrother Uttama Shloka Prabhu, when he joined the temple, they gave him a very wonderful service. Clean the toilet. Now, you know, in India, the toilet cleaner, they are considered low class. They're outcast. Not even low class, they're outcast. Untouchables. So, who would want to clean the toilet? I mean, it's so gross, you know. The stool, the urine, I mean, who wants to clean the toilet, you see? But that was a service they gave him, you see. You clean the toilet every day, that is your service. So he thought, I will surrender to this service. I will take it as my life and soul to make that toilet spotless and keep it clean. And actually he became very attached to doing that toilet service very nicely. So it's not wrong to be attached to your service. So what happens if your service happens to be to take care of your wife and children? Or your husband and children? And you take that as a service to your Guru and Krishna. Is that a material attachment? No. That's spiritual. The proof is, if your spiritual master says, now you give up household life right now, you go to Vrindavan and remain there as the rest of your days, you'll immediately pack your bags. Guru Maharaj has ordered me, now I must go to Vrindavan and give up family life. The proof is you're attached to the order of your spiritual master, your number one attachment. What if your spiritual master orders you, as Priyavrata was ordered, that you get married? Then he accepted, yes. He first resisted. And he could have refused, as the Kumaras did. But actually, he was already a Paramahamsa Uttamadhikari. And Krishna from within the heart revealed to him that actually you're meant to do this. This is your service to me. So he accepted it. So the real principle is not whether you're married or whether you're single. The real principle is you're fully submitted to the order of your spiritual master in Krishna. That is the real meaning of Krishna consciousness. This is not the International Society for Saffron Dhotis.
Is it?
This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But we highly respect those devotees wearing saffron, you see. Because they are showing the example of following the pathway of renunciation. They are giving up this dalliance, male and female affairs. So they are showing a very good example, and we offer them all respect. But to accept household life in the spirit of renunciation, that is also renunciation. And actually, that requires great sense control. Just imagine going to the Sunday feast and having the plate sit in front of you and not take prasadam. That is also nice. There you are with a beautiful woman. A beautiful, lovely woman, you see. And you don't have... You're all alone with her. Every night. And you don't have sex, you see. So that's very renounced position. Sometimes it's said it's more renounced than the brahmacharis and the sannyasis. That takes more sense control. So the point is that one should, whatever the instruction you receive from higher authorities, that one should follow. And in this way, always be pleasing to Guru and Krishna. And then your life will become perfect. And then you will be happy. So we can ask now if there's any questions. Vishnupriya Mataji. Someone thinks, I am book distributor. Someone thinks, I am book distributor. I do not touch toilet. That's Maya. The book distributor, he's trying to make a spiritual revolution on this planet. That's why he's out there every day fighting it out with the material energy to push forward these books. Spiritual masters, the book distributor, it actually like a spiritual master. Because he wants to save the fallen souls. You see? So when he comes back to the temple and he sees the toilets dirty, and even think, well, somebody is going to read a book and they're going to come to the temple to see what it's like when you follow the books, and when they see a dirty toilet, they'll think, oh, this is hypocrisy. So that book distributor, he'd be the first one to run in and clean the toilet, you see. Because he's in a mood of making a revolution on this planet. He wants to see that the temple is an ideal place so that anybody who gets a book will come here and they will learn how to follow what's in the books. Next question. Rupa Nugab.
Kokį prieglobstį vyras moteriai šeimoje turi teikti, kad jie galėtų progresuoti Krishna sąmonėje?
Vyras moteriai?
Nu, vienas kitam. Kokius jų pareigas turi pasirašyti? kaip jie vienas kitą palaiko, kaip kad nes iš tikrųjų tai atrodo, kad jie vienas kitą turi maišytis.
Kaip jie palaiko, kad tobulėja kaip
jie.
How should husband and wife support each other that they could advance in Krishna consciousness?
The husband should make sure that the wife is Krishna conscious. 24 hours a day. And the wife should make, in other words, the wife should make sure the husband and the husband should make sure the wife. They should both make sure that each other are Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. That is called Grihastha Ashram. Note the word ashram. If there is no such Krishna consciousness, it is not Grihastha Ashram. It is Grihamedi Andakupa, the dark well of materialistic household.
Mes matom, kad ne tik šeimoj, bet ir šiaip paprastai būna tokia situacija, kad vieni kitus prižiūri, tai tai ta ir daro dažnai, kad tai vieni kitus prižiūri apie save, kaip, bet kažkaip pamirštam priimti, jeigu vyras vien tik priminės žmonai galvos, o žmona tik tai kaip yra Krišno sąmonė, kada jie patys užsijams.
Ten dabar žinai, kad kartais per daug pasidarėm kitus mokyti.
Pamirštam, jo, tik tai vienas kitą, jeigu jie mokys, tai kada jie patys mokys.
Daug laiko.
Ta prasme. Vienas kitą mokys. Tai vienas galvos nekreips dėmesio į pamokymus, o galvos apie kaip kitą mokinti.
A, jis pats mokins, bet jis nekreips dėmesio į pamokymus.
Jo, jis galvos mano pareiga mokinti jį, nesvarbu, ką tu man sakai, kaip tokia situacija dažnai pasitaiko.
Many times we can see such a situation, the husband or a wife tries to see that other side is in Krishna consciousness, but the other side doesn't want to accept, but he only wants to see that other is in Krishna consciousness, and but he doesn't want to accept the teachings or help from another person. He just wants to give that person his teachings and help, but he doesn't want to accept. So what should you do in such situation?
Actually, if you're in a, one is in a situation where the in a married situation that one wants to be Krishna conscious and the spouse does not want to be, but just simply wants that you should be Krishna conscious, then you should feel very fortunate.
Jeigu žmogus tokio situacijoje randas, kad jisai turi savo kitą pusę, nepriema jojo pagalbos pamokymų, bet jinai tik stengiasi jam visą laiką padėti, tai tada labai džiaugtis.
That they are willing to let you be Krishna conscious. That means they're making spiritual advancement just by your practicing Krishna consciousness.
Ir kad jie, kad ta kita pusė stengiasi padėti jums būti Krishna sąmonė, tai automatiškai reiškia, kad ir jie.
That is not a difficult situation.
Tai nėra sunki situacija.
The husband wants to be a devotee, the wife doesn't want to be, but she lets him practice Krishna consciousness. They will gradually, that non-Krishna conscious spouse who lets the other spouse become practice Krishna conscious, they will naturally become a devotee in due course.
Tie, reiškia, ne Krishna sąmoningi, nesąmoningos pusės, jos vien taip pat leisdamos praktikuoti savo kitai pusiai, jos palaipsniui ir kitas.
The problem is where they're fighting against it.
Problema būna tada, kai jie kovoja prieš Krishna.
When you put out your picture of Krishna up, they throw away your picture of Krishna, you see.
Jūs padedat savo paveikslą su Krishna, jį išmeta.
They insist on bringing meat into the house.
Jie reikalauja, kad mėsa būtų
namuose. They demand illicit sex.
Ir taip pat vyra į...
That's the problem, you see. But if the spouse is willing to let you practice Krishna consciousness, they will also greatly benefit, even if they are not practicing it themselves yet. Anybody else? All right, go ahead, Rupanuga.
Bet būna taip, kad vienas turi tarnybą jau ir kitas turi, bet kiekvienas bando primesti, kad jos svarbesnė ir, kaip sakant, permušinėja tarnybas. Vienas savo tarnybą sureikšmė labiau pasidaro tokią konkurenciją, netgi to daina.
savo sureikšmą, ta prasme, kad nori ir kitas, kad atliktų tą tarnystę.
Jos, aš turiu tarnystę, tu turi tarnystę, bet man reikia, kad mano tarnystę tu atliktų.
But sometimes there are such situations when these peers, one has one kind of service, another has one kind of service, and they fight which service they should do, try to take on their part.
One's a Bhakti Shira, the other is a Bhajari. Well, they have to cooperate. They say that the it is sometimes said, show me a successful marriage whose middle name is not compromise. Well, does that one translates or not? A successful marriage has a successful marriage must be based on the principle of compromise. In Texas, we have what are known as hurricanes. Huge, powerful storms come in off the Gulf of Mexico. They're so powerful they can knock a tree over, you see. Tornadoes also in Texas. We have in Austin. We have tornadoes, and they can also knock a tree over. Texas tornadoes are very heavy. In fact, one block away from our house, a tornado came, and this huge tree completely crashed over. So. The trees that bend, you see, they don't break. The tree that is very rigid, that cannot bend in the wind, that tree will snap and break. So for a marriage to be successful, neither the husband nor the wife should be too rigid. They both must be flexible, you see. If the wife is a Bhajari and the husband's a book distributor, then the husband should think, well, sometime I will come back from book distribution and help my wife with the Bhajari work. Sometimes I will do that. I will come back from book distribution once a week and I will help my wife with the puja, you see. We will do it together. And the wife will think, well, some days I will take off from Pujari service and I will go on book distribution with my husband. In this way, even if the wife and husband have different services, they will be flexible, you see. It's like I am doing sometimes, I'm assisting Vishnu Priya Manaji, she has taken the deity service. I'm doing preaching, but she also preaches, and I also do deity service. We cooperate with each other in that way. Compromise, you see. I give in to you, you give in to me. We meet halfway, you see. This philosophy, my way or the highway, that's no good. You know the meaning of my way or the highway? That means, that used to be the system in the old days in ISKCON. You have to do everything or hit the highway, you know, get out of here. Of course, that one should be fully surrendered in one's authority, it's true. But the authority is always thinking, they're always in the mood of serving the devotees. You see. At the same time, trying to see how to best facilitate them being engaged according to their propensity. The devotee should think, I must be fully surrendered to the temple authority because he is my guru's representative. Whatever instruction he gives me, I must follow his instruction. And the temple authority must think how I can best engage this person according to their propensity in the service of Guru and Krishna. Any other questions? Nara Raman.
The question is how to develop a consciousness that I wouldn't, when coming to the temple, I wouldn't look for faults, that this is done bad, but I would see Shishinita Gorachandra and would like only to serve, but not see faults. How to come to that platform?
Actually, you should see faults too. The toilet needs cleaning. Clean it. It's not wrong with seeing faults. As long as you're in the mood of service. To see something, the floor needs sweeping. Actually, it's not wrong to see that the floor needs sweeping. Take up the broom and sweep. We should always see what's going properly and what's not going properly. And do everything we can to help things make everything go properly, you see. The key is not to be in a fault-finding mood, a proud, holier-than-thou mood. But always to be in a mood of service. If I see that some devotee is feeling depressed, is it wrong to see that? I should see, here's a devotee who's feeling depressed. That's not right. He shouldn't feel depressed. Let me see what I can do to cheer up the devotee. Give him a chance to reveal his heart. Why is he depressed? Actually, there's nothing wrong with seeing the faults. The bad thing is to be in the lording and over mood. That's the bad thing. Always to be in the mood of service. That is the proper mood. Any other question? Rupanuga, once again.
The problem sometimes arises that when one tries to give something, some service to other person, he does not get back the
reciprocation,
the response, how to say. And it becomes, especially for neophyte devotee, difficult.
Yes, a neophyte has to get reciprocation, that's a thing. Otherwise he becomes discouraged. That's the difference between an advanced devotee and a neophyte. Advanced devotee doesn't need reciprocation. His reciprocation is from Krishna and from Guru. He's always in the mood of give, you see. And Guru and Krishna reciprocate with them. Even if the devotees, the immediate devotees that he's giving to, don't reciprocate So what the neophyte devotee will do? He's in a situation where he's not getting reciprocation. You can't force them to reciprocate with you. So the best thing to do is this. Become an advanced devotee. Is there any difficulty? What is the difficulty? You become advanced.
There is no difficulty when spiritual master is near.
You think I'm not always here? That is your illusion. There are two presences of Guru, Vani and Vapu. And Vapu is his physical form. It is not very important. Because that form, it will die someday. He will be buried in Mayapur, or the ashes will be thrown in the Ganga. You see. He will not see that form. But the Vani, that form of Guru, that form is eternally available for the disciple. The teachings, the instructions of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is personally, fully present in those instructions. How am I staying so enlivened? Because Prabhupada is personally present in the orders he gave me, you see. And by my embracing those orders of Srila Prabhupada, I'm always feeling that Prabhupada is with me and blessing me with his mercy. So you have to do like that also. You're a disciple. Now you take the orders received from the spiritual master. You take them deeply into your heart and tightly embrace them for all of eternity. And then you will never feel the separation from Guru Maharaj. Any other questions? Yeah.
What is the most powerful practice to increase humility?
Toilet cleaning is very good. Cleaning the toilets, yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
I tried to become humble in this way. I was cleaning toilets, but then after some time, the mind started to tell me that, oh, you're such a great devotee, you are so humble. What to do then?
Just see how advanced I am. I'm cleaning the toilets and relishing it. When will they offer me Guru Puja? So, how to get out of this trap? This is why it's so important that one can associate with senior Vaishnavas, you see. Actually, you should approach senior devotees and ask them, my dear Prabhu, please tell me, what are my faults? Please tell me, what are the deficiencies in my service? Approach senior devotees in this in a choir like this, those who are seeing you and knowing you, if you inquire for them, you see, then you can, that will be very helpful for one's advancement in Krishna consciousness, developing humility. I was just in Tallinn, in the Ananda Vardhana Prabhu, our temple president. Very humble devotee. Very nice service he's doing there, managing that temple now, taking that responsibility for Tallinn temple. And I was amazed by his humility. He had a meeting with me and he said, "Please tell me what I'm doing wrong." You see, that is how we really can develop humility. So submit ourselves to senior devotees. Any other question?
Sometimes it is said that Guru is only one, and how to understand this Guru Tattva?
Yes, Guru is one, but the persons may be many, Prabhupada said. Guru is one, but the persons may be many. You have one initiating spiritual master. And that's it. Of course, if he falls down, you can always be reinitiated. One has one initiating guru. But then you can have unlimited instructing spiritual masters. That instructing spiritual master is described by Krishna Das Kaviraj to be an equal manifestation of Krishna with the initiating guru. Both the initiating guru and the instructing guru are equal manifestations of Krishna's mercy. So your final authority is your initiating guru. And you must never deviate from his instructions. So anyone else whose instructions help you to become even more surrendered to your Diksha Guru, they can be accepted as Siksha Guru. And they are given equal respect as one gives to one's initiating spiritual master. That is the statement of Srila Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any other questions?
When going to Vrindavan, should one always ask the spiritual master for permission? And
yes,
hey,
if possible. I mean, if you're able to communicate with him, I definitely would do that. Because that will make it much more auspicious. Why do I say that? Because Shastra says the Guru is the revealer of the
Dhamma.
Without his mercy, you may buy a ticket and go to Vrindavan. But you will only be in the shadow of Vrindavan, you will not be in the real Vrindavan. Unless you have his blessing and his mercy, you cannot actually enter Vrindavan. Someone should always seek the direct blessings of the spiritual master to enter the holy Dham. Anything major to enter household life, to have a child after you get married, one should always give the spiritual master's blessings for these things. If it's possible. I mean, some gurus, you can't, they have so many disciples, you can't even directly communicate with them like that. And in such situations, you can get the blessings of a Siksha Guru.
But if one, if possible, if you can, one can directly get the Diksha Guru's blessings for all these major things that one does in one's life. It's very, very auspicious to do that. Any other questions? So, we've already planned on our calendar now for returning in the spring. We've already marked the dates. I will submit to the authorities here if they approve of the dates for 2010, for the spring and the fall. I've already marked my calendar. I will give Sankirtan the information. He can confirm with the temple authorities if they, we are authorized to come back. See, I'm getting their blessings. Just as I'm recommending you get the Guru's blessings to enter Vrindavan, I'm seeking their blessings to return to Kamnas, their temple authority. Not that I just show up, you see. If I get the blessings of Harikatha Prabhu and Kedarnath, then it becomes more auspicious, you see. So, yeah, we are looking forward to coming back in the spring if we get their blessings. And so today we're heading up to Riga and then back, going to the U.S., then going to the Holy Dom for some time. So we're very much appreciative of all the wonderful service being rendered here by the devotees. The wonderful, loving spirit here is very inspiring and enlivening for us. We see many, many temples around the world, but this Kaunas temple is very, very special temple in the whole world. Please don't get puffed up by them. But this temple, it is very special temple. And it's always very special treat when we come here to Kaunas. So please continue in this way, increasing the loving feelings for Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna. And you'll be able to attract the whole Lithuania to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Achula bhai.